So I was sitting in a shul, and there was a man in front of me who was clearly going through the five stages of denial. But I'm going to explain. This was not my shul. This is not in Skokie Yeshiva. This is in a shul that was just sitting in the back. Now, what do I mean by that? The guy was sitting in a chair, and he was shuckling. But it wasn't the normal shuckling. It was a shuckling that made the entire chair shake to the point where the chair was making a really loud noise. So maybe you've seen this before. Maybe you've been in a situation where you've seen a guy shuckling in a chair and it's making this huge loud noise. Not a big guy, thin guy, but the chair was obviously clearly broken and it was making the noise. So what happened? So the first reaction that he had, and I'm watching this guy, and I realize I know I should have been davening Marav better, but this was my reaction as I'm watching. The first thing that the person did was he looked around to see maybe it was somebody else. He didn't think it was himself. So he looked around at everybody around him. Nothing. So then the second stage of denial happened. Nobody else hears this except for me. I'm the only one who hears this. No one else. So he continued shuckling and making this unbelievably loud noise. You could hear it throughout the room, but he kept doing it. When he realized it was him and that people were listening to it, people were hearing it, he decided to shuckle a little bit softer. So instead of making a like that sound, it was just an and a small little sound that just came through, but it still went through. So the fourth time, he just decided, okay, I'm gonna stop shuckling. So he stopped for about 10 seconds before he forgot and then started shuckling again just as loud and said, I'm just gonna go through with this. And then finally, he got up, put the chair to the side, and he got up, stood up to daven the rest of Birkas Kriya Shema, just like that. I couldn't understand it. Why didn't he just stop shuckling? Why didn't he just stay straight? Now, I realize this is not going to be a shir or a shmooze on whether or not a person should shuckle during his davening. That is not the point whatsoever. I see this as a mashal. And the question is what the nimshal is. When you have a mashal of a person who knows it's an issue, who knows what he's doing has an issue, there's an issue here, and he just can't stop it, what does he do? What's his reaction? How should a person go about this? I will tell you that while I was watching this entire episode happen in front of me, I closed my eyes toward the middle to stop because it was extremely distracting. The guy was right there in front of me. All I thought to myself was, that's me. That's me. I know what I'm doing wrong. I know the things that I have to work on, but it's so hard to stop. It's so hard to stop. You sit there and you can say to yourself, I am going to bench out of a bencher every single time. You could say that to yourself. I'm going to take a bencher and I'm going to bench. What happens if you're in a rush, you're sitting at a table, there's no bencher within arm's length, and you're going to have to get up and go grab it, but that's going to take an extra 35 seconds, and you have to go right now. Let's say you wanted to say to yourself, I wanted to have a mincha out of a sitter, a normal thing to take on for yourself. Mincha out of a sitter, or at least a leinu out of a sitter. There's no sitter available in front of you. Let's say a person says, I want to make sure I want to work on my Shmiras Einayim. I want to work on my Shmiras Einayim. And then he goes down a road where it happens to be, there's a sign there, a billboard, that has something that's inappropriate on it. What are you supposed to do when those types of situations come up? Now, many, many times, these positions that we're in have this type of idea, have this type of idea. There are three suggestions. Number one is from the Rambam. The Rambam, in his Hilchos Deos, goes into, and this is really when he deals with Midos, is to stop cold turkey. And the way is, if you're an extreme in one way, go to the extreme in the other direction. Do the exact opposite extreme. Now, clearly, that's not going to be able to last. You won't be able to stay in a position where you're going to one extreme. But the eventuality, says the Rambam, is that you'll get to the Derech HaMamutza. If you're in one extreme, and you put yourself into the other extreme for a little bit, eventually you'll be able to bring yourself to the middle and things will work out. And that's one way that a person could do something. It's difficult when it comes to certain things that we have in this world, but that's one way of doing it. We're saying, I won't daven or I won't bench if I don't have a bencher or a sitter in front of me. To give that mashal, I'm not going to bench. I'm not going to daven until I make sure I have it. That's one way of doing it. That's an extreme, but it is an extreme. Number two is to wean off of it slowly. There's a bit of seichel behind this, but the truth is, this is an idea that's made by the Chafetz Chaim and his sefer Nidchei Yisrael, where he goes into a person, in order to work on himself, should take himself piece by piece, little by little. They use it quite often in Hilchus Lashon Hara, where a person wants to work on Lashon Hara, and unfortunately it's very difficult to just stop completely and stop speaking Lashon Hara. So to take it little by little, take one piece and one piece and one piece, to say one by one, he doesn't talk about it. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't say that in that sefer. He says to take something that a person is doing wrong and to stop little by little by little. And it's usually when we deal with Baalei Tshuva, that's what we tell them. To tell them they should start everything all at once is very, very difficult. To stop everything all at once is very, very difficult. To go little by little is usually the advice that's given over to them. But there's a third suggestion and a way to turn that negative into something positive. And it's literally by turning it around in your mind. By creating a situation where a negative can become an actual positive in your head. So it's difficult in the shuckling case, and that mashal is a little bit hard. But to turn the fact that I am going to sit there, I don't have the sitter in front of me, I don't have the master in front of me, I don't have the bencher in front of me, but I am going to close my eyes and I am going to concentrate. When I don't have a sitter or a bencher in front of me, I am going to daven or bench slower than I normally would. I still have to go somewhere. I won't be able to go so quickly, but I'll bench a little bit slower to make sure that I have every word. Those people who have done Aleinu by heart for the past 20 years of their lives, where they've been sitting there and they said Aleinu every single day. If you would say to yourself, forget about using a sitter or a bencher. I'm going to use a sitter when it's there in front of me. But if I don't have a sitter, I'm going to say Aleinu slowly. I'm going to change my way of saying it. I'm going to concentrate better. I'm going to think about the translation of the words that I have. In a way, you say to yourself, I'm going to take, forget about saying all of Aleinu, because I might not know all the words. I'll say the first line of Aleinu, and I'll concentrate on that one line so much it'll take me a minute. Of Aleinu l'shabeach, it's on us to praise the master of everything. And you sit there, it's on us to praise the master of everything, and you spend minutes thinking about that one line. When you didn't say all of Aleinu, a way of doing that, you can turn the negative of me not having a sitter, of me running through Aleinu, you can turn it into something that is extremely positive. If a person has a phone and they want to stop themselves from being constantly on, from moving themselves around, I've seen a guy, aside from all the apps and everything you can put in, I've seen a guy who has Torah anytime, running constantly on his phone in the background. And what that means is that he's never technically off the phone. But when it's on, he'll get the shear going along in the background. So while he's doing other things or has to do something else, at least it's there. He's listening to something happening. When he's in the car and he has his phone in the car, right, if he doesn't have to make a phone call, doesn't do anything, in order to stop him from listening to the radio or doing anything else, he just has the phone on the whole time. The phone is there. So Torah anytime just starts blasting a shear. And he has it in such a way, it uses up a lot of battery, but he has it in such a way where it's constantly going, where he's able to have it going. And he has to start it up every time he goes to Shacharis Mechamaros. He turns it off, turns it back on, whatever. He presses it, you know, pause for just that moment. But at least that's a way of using your phone. You know you're going to be around. You know it's there. So using it in a positive way. Does that always work? Of course not, but at least you turn it around in such a way. But the key here is something that's so important in all of our lives. There's innovation and planning. We are coming up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're coming up to a time where we need to set up our entire year. I'm going to use Rav Dessler, but I'm going to use it in the way that my Rebbe, my Mashkiach, Rebbe Brazil, used to tell us every single year in the same way. Rosh Hashanah is about finding your place. It's about knowing who you are and what your job is. When you go into Rosh Hashanah, yes, it's about the melech. It's not a time for crying. It's not a time for doing vidui for your sins. In fact, the Vilna Gaon says that a person who cries on Rosh Hashanah is missing the point. If you cry out of Yiras Hashem, in awe for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's one thing. But if you're crying just stam, you're missing the point of Rosh Hashanah. Even during Unasana Tokef. That's not the point. The point of Rosh Hashanah is it's the king's coronation day. Can you imagine? The inauguration of the President of the United States. And you're standing there in front and you're crying? Now granted, if it's President Trump and you're a liberal, I get it. You'll sit in the front lines and you'll be crying the entire time. I completely understand that. But the idea of the coronation day, you don't cry at such an event. The king is getting up there, they're putting the crown on top of his head, and there's a random guy that's, what's that guy doing? Why is he crying? It doesn't make any sense. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu chose a day in which he's mamlich himself above the world, he makes himself melech al kol olam kulo, and he wants everyone to chant and scream his name, to say out loud that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, and to say it over and over and over again, and we have trumpets blaring, and we have the crowd coming through, and you're sitting there and you're asking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to forgive your sins, that makes no sense. That doesn't make any sense. That's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing here. Now, if on the coronation day, on the day that a Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes king, you get to have an audience with that very king, the day the president becomes president, on January 20th, you get to go in. You can be there. You can stand in a room privately with the president. And you can be there to give your best wishes to him. Then of course you go in, you say you are the greatest king. You're gonna be the greatest king we're ever gonna have. This is gonna be an awesome year. You've done amazing things. But since I'm here, let me explain to you why I feel I fit into your kingdom. I can do something great that I feel no one else can do. And that day that you're allowed in, to daven for your sins makes no sense. But to daven that you have a place in God's kingdom makes a ton of sense. That's what you're doing there. So you stand in front and you better have your stuff together. You have to have prepared. Not on Rosh Hashanah morning, right before you go to davening, as you're walking the shul, you sit there and you prepare, what am I gonna ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this year? No, you have it beforehand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can do anything. And here is what I can do for your kingdom. Here is my amazing parts. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order for that to happen, if I want to be, let's say, I want to be a mashkiach in a yeshiva and a rebbe in a high school of the yeshiva, and I'm going to be a rabbi of a shul or an associate rabbi of a shul, and I'm going to have a family, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do that without a certain parnasa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do that if chas v'shalom someone gets sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do that if chas v'shalom I'm in a velus. You see what you're doing there? You're not asking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu for requests directly. You're doing it in association with what your plan is for the overall year. I have an idea, and that fits into what a coronation day is all about. You're showing where you fit, where you belong, how you belong there, and then you explain to a Kadosh Baruch Hu how he can't live without you. He can't have a world without you being there. You're begging a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's an elevator pitch. As you probably will learn in a business class at some point, an elevator pitch of however long, a minute, 2 minutes, that you're in the elevator with the president, where you get to say what you want to say, but you utilize it properly and it becomes your module for what you want to be for the rest of your year, for the rest of your life. This is who I am. This is where what you want me to do. I'm going to do it, but I need X. Rosh Hashanah is an awesome day. An awesome day, but it belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's his, and it's only his. It's about being mamlechim. It's about being something for him. It's about giving back to him. But the hachana before Rosh Hashanah, it's Tuesday right now, for Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Shabbos and Sunday, is us. It's all us. These are the days that the world was created. Starting tonight, Chaf Hei El. The world is created over the period of the next 6 days. And you're going to have these days to be able to set yourself up for good. You can allow yourself to think, what is my plan here? What do I want here? What am I doing? How can I make this so good that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can't let the world run without me, can't let the world run without my family, can't let the world run without my friends, my Rebbeim, my Talmidim, the people around me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu must make it. And even, if you're audacious enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs Mashiach to come. Because this world can't keep running this way. My plan only works if HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Mashiach to come. Think about that. To consider that in your head. You want more money? Fine. What are you going to do with it? You want more life? Fine. What are you going to do with it? You want to get married? Fine. Are you ready? Do you prepare yourself for that? You want to be great? What are you willing to give up to make that happen? What are you willing to lose in order to become greater? And it's in your hands. You have it. You're invited to the coronation. You're allowed to be part of it. You're allowed to say your own words. Here's what I do. I take a little index card, one of those right over there. And over the period of 4 or 5 days before Rosh Hashanah, I write down on it my plan. I think about it beforehand. I don't just write. And I put down what I want. Sometimes I tear up the card and I write up a second card. Sometimes there's a third card or a fourth card by the time I get to Rosh Hashanah. And then Rosh Hashanah, after the first Yulu Ratzoni Merifi, before the second Yulu Ratzoni Merifi, sometime in the middle of my Elokai Netzor, I read it out. I read it out and I say, this is what I'm looking for. I don't write it in Hebrew, I write it in English. And I say it out. What's my plan? What do I want to do? How do I want to be? I think that changes a person more than anything else. You could be the guy who's going to be keep going and keep doing it, make the noise and just keeping allowing it to go. Or you could be the guy that's able to turn a crazy, an unbelievable situation into an awesome, awesome experience for yourself. So I'm putting this in your hands now. You have a couple days. Find something that you want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Find something that you know you can do. And put that into your card and let your Rosh Hashanah be a different Rosh Hashanah than it has been in the past. Let it be about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the King and your part in His world. Have a good week, everyone.